Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Does Monday at the office feel like a storm? Not with Microsoft Copilot. That feeling when Copilot gets everyone up to speed instantly? It's sunny again. When Copilot simplifies complex data so your teams can act, that sun's shining on a beach. And when Copilot uncovers hidden insights, you're on that beach with your people and you find buried treasure. That's Microsoft Copilot. Learn more at Microsoft.com/AI for all.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Getting engaged is a moment worth cherishing. A one-of-a-kind ring that you design at Blue Nile can help your love sparkle. Just choose your diamond and setting. When you've found the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Finding the right engagement ring can be nerve-wracking. At Blue Nile, you'll have the expert guidance needed and a diamond guarantee that ensures you're getting the highest quality at the best price. Cherish all of life's moments and save up to 30% at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Good evening and welcome to the Full Press Raiders podcast. I'm your host, Terrence Biggs. With me, you know him. He is one of the best, if not the best, tape heads out there as far as someone who can break down tape analytically and actually make it consumable for even the average fan. Our guy, Ryan Holmes. Ryan, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on again. Good, man, good to always have power back. I lost power the last couple of days, so
yes.
Good to have the lights on tonight.
Definitely got to be careful out there. Now, the Raiders have actually more holes that you would think because of the amount of offensive money they have sunk in, but they still have offensive hole talent, and we're going to go position by position, but I know that one of the positions you want to talk about is running back. Who do you see being fit?
So I think they can go one of two ways at running back. They obviously need a bigger back that can spell Jacobs if he gets hurt and be a lead dog if need be. And they also need a guy that can be a speed back, third down guy out of the backfield, just kind of a home run threat. So just a couple of names I'm looking at. If they want to spend a little bit more, there may be a Marlon Mack coming over from the Colts. The Colts seem to be set with Jonathan Williams, and they have Jordan Wilkins over there as well. So Mack should have a chance to hit the market. I don't think he's going to get a huge contract, but he's a guy that has been a workhorse in this league and a guy that can come in and spell Jacobs and give the Raiders good yards per attempt and catch the ball a little bit out of the backfield. And another bigger back that I like that I think can come on the cheaper side is Jamal Williams from the Packers. I think the Packers are going to go out and re-sign Aaron Jones. I don't think they can bring them both back. There's a reason they drafted A.J. Dillon. So I think Jamal Williams is a bigger back, good in short yardage. He's also shown the ability to catch the ball in the backfield as well. Now, if they want to go the other route and they want a speed, versatile back that could help maybe on third downs and give the Raiders a home run threat, two guys that I would take a look at, Matt Breida, really fast running back that's with the Dolphins. He was with the 49ers a couple years ago, or even Tevin Coleman, who's with the 49ers, that came over from the Falcons. Two guys that could be had pretty inexpensively, I think, on the open market that would be ideal complements to Jacobs.
Now, you mentioned Matt Breida. He's 26, which is, he's in his prime. There's low miles on him, and last year he made $3.259 million. Do you see him hovering in that $4 million range?
I think you could actually get him for less. He didn't really do much this year. He didn't have a big role in that offense once Ahmed took over as the number one running back there. So I think this is a guy, I don't know if it's vet minimum, but I think he'll come in somewhere between 1.5 and 2 million. I don't think he's going to be going close to 4.
So you would stay away from a Leonard Fournette?
I would. I don't love him really in the passing game. I think that based on his draft status and kind of the success he's had in Tampa, he's going to get a decent amount on the free agent market. I think the Raiders can find better value for their bang for their buck, if you say, with some of these other backs that they can bring in that don't need to be lead guys. So I don't know how well Fournette's going to do trying to split carries with Jacobs, because you know that he's going to want a vast majority of the carries. These other guys should be able to come in and fit right in. They've been a part of two-back systems, or they've been, you know, backups or third-down backs in the past. I mean, you're just kind of looking for a guy to fit a certain role.
Now you have, it's funny, when you look at the free agency list, a name that sticks out that won't be a Raider but is still in the playoffs is a former Raider, like Tywan Jones. I know that he doesn't fit the criteria and he's probably going to probably end up hanging him up, but this is a guy who Al Davis drafted and is still out there. He's a special teamer, but he's still kind of making plays for the Bills, and it's weird to see a former Al Davis guy still in the league putting his head down and, well, cashing checks, like, has a pension because he's been in the league at least, what, 10, 11 years now. And so do you believe that Devontae Booker has played his last down in Vegas?
I wouldn't say that I believe he has. I mean, there's always a chance they can bring him back. I think there's better options out on the free agent market that can add a little bit more than what Booker brought to the table. I would take all four of these guys that I mentioned over Booker. I think that they can bring a little bit more as far as explosiveness or as a short yardage back than what Booker. Booker's okay. He's a solid number two. I don't think he's a guy that you can count on if Jacobs went down and he needed to be a starter for multiple weeks. And he didn't really show a ton in the passing game, and he definitely doesn't have breakaway speed. So he's kind of just, you know what you're getting with him, but I don't see the ability to hit a home run with him like you can with Coleman or Breida, and I don't think that he brings the versatility in Mack or the short yardage ability of Williams.
Now, looking at other positions, I know we talked and you said that you thought that right tackle would definitely be a point of contention, and I know via tweets you said that it didn't seem like a strong position and you don't want the Raiders to rely on Brandon Parker. Are there any right tackles that could possibly be a serviceable fix?
Yeah, there's two guys I like. In full disclosure, I want Trent Brown to come back at a lower number. If he's willing to restructure and slide some of that money into game day bonuses where he'd have to be active to get that money, that'd be great. I don't know if his agent's going to want to do that. And then after looking at the free agent class, it's very slim pickings. There's only 5 free agent right tackles in the market that played more than 50% of snaps for their teams this year. So if I'm Trent Brown's agent, I say no and I hit the market and hopefully someone gives me some money. But two guys that I think, obviously Taylor Moton with the Panthers, but I think he's the best right tackle in the market. He's going to get upwards of $15, $16 million. I don't think the Raiders are willing to go there for Trent Brown's replacement, but Darrell Williams is a guy out of Oklahoma that's with Buffalo. I think he's 27. He's had a really good year as a right tackle up there. They do have Cody Ford, who they drafted and spent draft capital on. So maybe they don't want to invest money in Williams, especially with having to pay Josh Allen coming up here soon. So if he hits the market, Darrell Williams is a guy that I would have interest in. And then Matt Filer with the Steelers, who started the season as a backup, kind of had to play right tackle after Zach Banner went down early and had a serviceable season there with Pittsburgh. I think he could fill in, and he's not going to cost much, and he could fill into that spot. The reluctancy I have is the draft is pretty deep at offensive line, but I feel like the Raiders need to use their first and second round picks on premium defensive talent, and I don't want them to go the route of having to take a tackle because they need someone on the roster and wasting one of those two first round or second round pick on a tackle. I think that they need to add young defensive talent, especially up the middle, 3 technique, and obviously they need another edge rusher and a safety. So if Tom Cable can find a tackle in the 3rd, 4th round that he thinks can come in and start and is more advanced than Brandon Parker, then I'm for that. But Brandon Parker should not be taking snaps as a starter game one next year.
Agreed. Now, when you look at other names on the right tackles, and I can't help but to agree with you, it's kind of like a bad market for right tackles. You have Mike Remmers, who I still have flashbacks of Von Miller destroying him in the Super Bowl about, 6 years ago. I tell him, Matom, he'll price himself out in because he deserves a giant raise, but Filer is it. They had LaRaven Clark from the Colts guy out of Texas Tech, but his run blocking never came along. He was a Big 12 pass blocking guy, and his run blocking has never really stuck. But I know that you have edge rushers that you saw and you want to find possible fits in Vegas. Who are you thinking?
Yeah, there's plenty of edge rushers on the market that are going to fit kind of in that Leo position that Melvin Ingram has played under Gus Bradley and Yannick Ngakoue. Both of those guys are free agents, so right away it's an easy connection. Melvin Ingram to come in on maybe a two-year deal, or Ngakoue, who's still pretty young. I know he got a lot of bad reviews this year for his time in Minnesota and being traded to Baltimore, but guys still put up 8 sacks. You know, the Raiders could really use another guy. If that's a bad year, I'd like to roll the dice on him and see if we can get him in there and get, 10, 12 sacks opposite Max Crosby or Cleveland Farrell or however they decide to run out there. But I definitely think they do need either a strong side linebacker that can be a rush linebacker in the nickel or a guy that can just be a full-time Leo. Hassan Reddick is a guy that could come over from the Cardinals that really turned it loose. Once Arizona let him just rush the passer, which is what he did in college, they tried to use him as an off-the-ball linebacker that didn't work. But they unleashed him this year. He had 12 and a half sacks. He's a little undersized. He's more in the 6'1", 235 range. Undersized for the Leo, but then again, the size doesn't matter there if they can turn him loose. I think he might cost a little bit too much money, especially for 1 year of production. I'm not totally sold on that one, but he's a guy to consider. Shaq Barrett, that would come over from Tampa Bay, would be a great fit. He had 19 and a half sacks 2 years ago. I think he was close to 10 this year. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but he's a guy that would be perfect in that Leo position. If you want a guy, Marcus Golden is another one that could come over. He's with the Giants. I believe he went back to Arizona. And Matthew Judon with Baltimore. He's a guy, he could play the Sam linebacker and set the edge, and then he could give you some rush skills. Now, he's not as athletic or as fluid as some of the other guys. He's not going to be a pure pass rusher, but he's good enough to get you, eight sacks off the edge is an option. I think that he's going to hit the market. I don't see him going back to Baltimore. And then Tack McKinley, we don't really know a lot about. He could fit in that position as well. I don't know what kind of money he's looking for. I saw PFF had him, did their top 100 rankings. They had him going back to the Raiders on some 3-year, like $27 million with like $18 million guaranteed. I don't think he gets anywhere near that. I wouldn't give him anything near that. For me, it's more of a 1-year prove it deal. To see, kind of 1 year, $2 or $3 million, and then tack on, another $2 or $3 million in sack incentives. But I would not spend a lot of money to bring McKinley back. But, there's plenty of, Von Miller might be out there as well, depending on what happens with his legal issues in Denver. There's going to be other guys. Bud Dupree, I left off the list because he had ACL surgery, and he probably won't be ready for the start of the season. I don't want to spend a big money on a guy that's not going to play right away, but. And teams are going to have to release guys, obviously, to get under the salary cap. So there could be a bevy of edge rushers on the market this year.
The dream of Raider fans is to sign former Jet, former Giant, and former USC product as a defensive end. And with a guy like Big Leonard Williams, it's too much. I don't see John Gruden wanting to pay that much money for a defender. I just can't see it.
No, he would play more of the three technique in this defense, which he has played in the past. I think he's going to command upwards of $18 to $20 million a year on his average annual salary, and I don't think the Giants are going to let him walk. I think that they would even franchise tag him a second time if they can't work at it. I can't see a way that they gave up a third-round pick for him. Then he gives them 11 and a half sacks, and they go, okay, yeah, go ahead and walk in free agency. I just don't see that happening. He is the pipe dream, but I don't see that. other three techniques that might be available. Shelby Harris, Raider fans know. He was a Reggie McKenzie draft pick. Didn't really do much for the Raiders. Has really blossomed over in Denver. He gives you a decent run defender. He gives you some pass rush. A lot of passes defended. He's really good at timing his jump and knocking balls down. Larry Ogunjobi with the Browns. Didn't quite have as good of a year this year as he had last year, but he's a guy that could play the three technique. He could slide over and play the one technique if he needs to. He's a powerful interior guy. He doesn't give you quite the pass rush, but he does give you a little bit of versatility. A guy that I really like that could come on the cheap, I think, is a Roy Robertson Harris with the Bears. Kind of a David Irving type body. He's a tall, long guy with length that has shown some pass rush skills on the inside. And I also think David Irving fits well in a Gus Bradley type defense. So I think that the Raiders should give him a chance as well next year.
One of the names that was bandied about by fans is bringing back Danico Autry. Now, Autry's a guy where I respect him because when he left Oakland, he bet on himself. He signed a short-term deal, 3 years. He rewarded the Colts. I'm sure the Colts will probably, they might float him some cash. But if they don't, he's probably going to cash in again. So, I mean, he cashed in on two separate contracts after going undrafted. Do you see Autry being a fit?
He could ideally be a fit in the three technique. I think the Colts just have too much cap room to let a guy like that walk away after what he's provided them. I wouldn't break the bank for him. But if he wanted to come over on a smaller, you know, 2 or 3 year deal somewhere in the $5 to $6 million a year range, I'd be okay with that. Now he's not going to hold up as well in the run game as a three technique, but he does give you some pass rush on the inside. So there is a trade there. If you brought in him, if you brought in Autry to be your starting three technique, then you need a really good one technique that can two gap and kind of hold up that interior. Because teams will be running right down the middle of the field if it's Autry and then another guy inside that isn't a really good run stuffer.
Now, moving to free safety, and I know we mentioned, and everyone knows there's the Justin Simmons, guys like that. You have Marcus May, Marcus Williams. Marcus Williams of the three is the youngest at 25. Justin Simmons might be the best, and Marcus May might be the most affordable. Which of those three would fit with Gus Bradley's scheme?
I think all three can fit as the single high safety in a cover three defense. This is a really good free agent class for free safeties, which is ideally a need for the Raiders. So, and the draft doesn't offer much as far as free safety. So if the Raiders are going to fill that hole, they're going to have to spend some money there. The good thing is there's five or six options that are going to fit really well. Obviously, I love Justin Simmons' game. I think that he gives you elite range. He gives you ball skills. He's a good tackler. He can play man coverage when he needs to. So he's a guy that is going to cost a pretty penny, but he's worth it. He's going to give you a Pro Bowl level free safety. You mentioned Marcus May. He's another favorite of mine. He's versatile. He can play in the box. He can play in the deep third. He can play a little bit of man, and he's a good leader. And he was probably the best defender on the Jets other than Quinnen Williams this year. The Jets didn't win where they went 1-15 or 2-14, but they still had a good defense. Marcus Williams is the youngest of the three. He gives you good range. He's another good defender with speed. He's a young guy. Obviously, he's remembered for the Minneapolis Miracle or the play against Stephon Diggs where the Saints lost that playoff game. But other than that, he's had a really good start to his career. I'd like to throw a couple other names in, too, that might be a little bit cheaper further down the list that could fit in this system. Anthony Harris with the Vikings is one that could come in. He's a younger guy. He's had some success in this league opposite Harrison Smith. Now, he's played more in a two-high defense versus a single high, but he's got good coverage metrics, so I think that he could hold up in coverage. A personal favorite of mine, I wish he was healthy all the time, but Malik Hooker would be a great candidate to come over from the Colts. He missed this year with an Achilles tendon. The only issue you have with him, like I said, is you don't know if he's going to be healthy. He's missed time with a shoulder injury. He's had, obviously, the knee injury, and he had an ACL, MCL surgery in the pros and also missed time this year with a torn Achilles. But when he's on the field, he's an elite safety. If you could get him on a flyer one-year deal and then draft a rookie in the third or fourth round behind him in case, that would be the route I would go because it's not going to cost you a lot of money. And then Rayshon Jenkins is another guy that's with the Chargers who played this year under Gus Bradley, had five interceptions. He should be on the cheaper side too. So they can go expensive there. They can take a veteran. They can take a guy that's familiar with the system. They can take a guy with versatility like May. They can roll the dice on Hooker. There's a ton of different ways they can go at the safety position.
We had spoken a few times about the Raiders possibly skimming some off the offensive side of the cap and sliding that towards defense. Do you think that John Gruden, do you think that he's going to understand and actually do this, or do you think that he's just going to go on the cheap and just hope that Gus Bradley's scheme will cover holes?
That's a great question. I think John Gruden is probably going to lean towards going on the cheap. He's going to lean on those guys he drafted. He's going to lean on Farrell and Crosby and Arnett and Mullen and Abram and the guys they gave money to and Littleton and Kwiatkowski. I think they might fill one hole on defense, whether that's the three technique or maybe Gus Bradley really fights for that Leo or the free safety. They're going to have to add veterans somewhere. But I don't think they're going to fill all three of those needs in free agency. It might be one high-priced guy at one of those three spots, maybe a lower-tier guy to give some competition, and then maybe spend some picks in the draft. And like I mentioned, my fear is that they let Trent Brown go, and then they have Brandon Parker on the roster, and then they get into the draft, and they take a tackle in the first round, which we're going to be in the same situation next year, and we're going to be talking about they need to spend on the defense. I think that the first round and the second round pick both need to go to defense, and we'll see. Hopefully Gruden knows, but if Gruden's going to walk away from Trent Brown and possibly Nelson Aguilar, he's going to replace those guys, and he's going to replace them with some guys making some money. So he's going to spend some money on offense this year. I just don't see a situation where he walks away from, let's say, Incognito, Brown, and Aguilar, and puts all that money on the defense and tries to roll for, on the cheap on the offensive side. I think that's one of the reasons why he hired Gus Bradley, because the system can be picked up by younger players. The one thing on defense, though, I think they really need is a slot corner in this system. They don't have one on the roster other than Amik Robertson if they let Joyner go. And there are some outside corners that they could look at in free agency that could be on the cheaper side. But, you know, if you go, let's say they sign Michael Davis from the Chargers, who had a good year, he can't play the nickel. He's an outside guy. Mullen's an outside guy, and Arnett's an outside guy. So if they do want to go the slot route, there's four guys that I think can fit. Desmond King obviously played with the Chargers and made a Pro Bowl, and then he got traded to Tennessee. He's only 26. He's not very quick. I don't know how much he has left. He's put up pretty good numbers in PFF, but he's not a blazing speed guy. But he can fit in some underneath coverages. The problem you'll have is when he has to cover vertical routes out of the slot based on the cover three looks, then he could be in trouble. But Mike Hilton's another guy. I think he might be the best slot corner in football with the Steelers. He's going to cost some money. His strength is blitzing. So I don't know if he's a match for Bradley, because Bradley's not going to bring a ton of blitzes. He's definitely not bringing nickel blitzes out of the slot a lot. So if they do sign Mike Hilton, you're not really going to take full advantage of his skill set. Nicole Roby Coleman is another guy who's been a good slot corner in the league for a long time. Feisty little guy that he was with. The Rams, spent some time in Buffalo, and I want to say he's with the Eagles. He's a free agent. And then a guy that I really like is Kawan Williams, who's with the 49ers. He's been a good slot corner that can tackle. He's physical. He can cover. He's kind of an under-the-radar guy. But I really think they definitely need a three technique. They need a Leo. They need a free safety. They need a slot corner. And they need to fill those holes. Now, there are, like I said, there are cheaper options. And then in the draft, just take the best defensive players. It doesn't matter what position they're on. They need impact defensive players, and to walk away from guys because, oh, we need a right tackle, or oh, we need a Sam linebacker, oh, we need a free safety. Like, just take the best guy and figure it out.
Since we're talking about corners, and hopefully we can finally put Richard Sherman to the Raiders to rest again, because people have been using their Photoshop so they're the best of their abilities by trying to Photoshop that silver and black jersey on Sherman. It's not going to work.
No.
He knows the system. I understand that, but he was slow then. He's slower now. At best, safety. At best. Or actually, at best, commentator or coach.
Yeah, I just don't want to see a situation where the Raiders, one, I don't think he's a fit at his age on this team. They need to invest in some younger guys that can be on this defense and have an impact over multiple seasons. But I don't want another Joiner situation where you're signing a corner and you're playing him out of position at free safety and hoping it works. Like, they took Joiner from free safety and played him at slot corner, and we saw how that worked out. A lot of Raider fans just say, oh, Charles Woodson did it. Well, Charles Woodson is a Hall of Famer. He's a special player. Right. That always was physical and willing to tackle and force fumbles, even when he was playing corner. Richard Sherman's not that kind of guy. He's a lengthy corner that can contest jump balls and get passes defended, but he's never been known as a guy that's going to come stick his nose in the running game and get in there and be physical.
It's interesting because there are a bunch of former top 100 picks in the last couple of years that have struggled. Sidney Jones from the Eagles and Jags, Fabian Moreau from Washington. It's funny. Daryl Worley is still available at 26. No one needs Daryl Worley on their team.
We saw the second act of that this year. We'll go ahead and pass on that one.
Like, he's the oldest 26-year-old in the league. He is Danny Almonte, for those who remember Little League baseball. But the
one guy that's on the roster that might benefit the most from Gus Bradley is Isaiah Johnson. Just, you know, he's a lengthy guy. He's best when he's up playing press or bail coverage. He's not really good when you're asking him to play multiple coverages, cover two, cover four, cover six, and asking him to do a lot of things. If he can just get in the system and say, okay, this is your technique, and you're going to play cover three, and you got the deep third, that's basically all your responsibility, and he can learn one or two techniques and one or two different coverages, because the Raiders aren't going to run a million coverages. Their outside corners are basically going to run the same technique on every, if they're either going to be playing press man or they're going to be bailing into cover three. He's not very good in zone coverage, but the Gus Bradley system should be a little bit easier for him to pick up. So he's a guy that could make a jump. I'm in the minority on Twitter. I think they need a veteran corner. It doesn't have to be a big-name guy, but a guy that can just come in and be reliable, better than Nevin Lawson. I don't want to go into the season with Arnett Mullen and Johnson and just pray that you're going to get two quality corners out of that group. Like I mentioned, Michael Davis, a guy that can be on the cheap, Jason Verrett. He's played for Gus Bradley. He's had a really good last year or two in San Francisco. It's not going to cost you any money. He's a guy that can come in for a year or two and just give you some depth. If they want to spend money there, William Jackson would be a good fit from Cincinnati. I think he's going to be too pricey. But I think they do need to add some veterans to the defense on some levels, because they just have a ton of young guys running around. I mean, they're all first and second year guys for the most part at every level.
How do you see Tanner Muse playing in the Gus Bradley system?
As a special teams war daddy,
I'm
not a big Tanner. I'm not a Tanner Muse guy. I'll be honest. I thought he was a reach in the third round. I probably wouldn't have taken him in a 7-round draft. I just don't see it. He wasn't a difference maker at Clemson. I know they used him as safety and kind of let him roam around, but at the NFL level with the skill set he has, I just don't see him fitting in at any of the three linebacker spots. The only one that he could potentially fill in is at the weak side. Where he's just got it, but he's going to have to carry, if he's playing weak side linebacker and he's on the side away from the three wide receivers, he's going to have to carry three verticals. If the inside slot receiver like Tyreek Hill runs vertical, then you're asking the real linebacker in some of these coverages to do that. And I just don't think that Tanner Muse can do that. He doesn't have the agility. He's a straight line 40 guy. It's not agility. He's not very fluid. He's pretty stiff. He's not great in the open field. Honestly, I think that he's a bottom of the roster special teams guy at best.
I want to see a guy like Javon White, because when he went undrafted from UNLV, he was like a hybrid, and I think that has a role in Gus Bradley's defense, not as a starter, but someone who can come in and give you those sub package snaps.
No, he would be interesting. Obviously, he's going to fight for a spot behind Corey Littleton, who's going to be the starting will linebacker. But he can be a guy that can develop in this system, and maybe 2 or 3 years from now, if they move on from Littleton, White can be that. The one interesting thing that I've seen in some of the film that I've seen of Gus Bradley's defense is this year they play, and when they went to nickel, and they had a lot of injuries, but when they went to nickel, they played a lot of two outside corner, two slot nickels, and then one safety. So a lot of times they had Chris Harris and Desmond King both playing nickel in their nickel defense when they, and then they had the two outside corners and then Rayshon Jenkins was deep. They only had one safety on the field. So I don't know if the Raiders can do that, can run that type of defense, because then you're asking Jonathan Abram basically to play the deep third 100% of the time and taking him out of the box. But that is a wrinkle that Gus Bradley brings. He can go to a nickel defense where he has two nickels on the field, but still only five defensive backs.
Now, before we head out, where can people interact with you on social media?
They can follow me on Twitter. The handle is at rholm22. It's RHOLM22. They can go back through. I have video breakdowns. Every once in a while, I throw some thoughts out there on Twitter, mostly Raiders related. I'll do some draft stuff, some free agent stuff.
As always, Ryan, thank you so much for joining us. We will definitely talk to you on Sunday.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
This has been another episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. Be good to yourselves and be good to each other.